BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC. Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic. And now, Adam and Joe.
Hey! How you doing, Pod Squad?
How you doing, listeners? This is Adam and Joe with the first of three special podcasts from Glastonbury featuring the highlights of our coverage from Britain's greatest meeting of young and irresponsible minds.
It's only a two-hour show and there's an awful lot of wiffle and waffle, so it's not going to be as long as a normal Adam and Joe podcast would be, but still we hope we've got some fun things coming your way. We are stood in my favourite part of the BBC J-Man. Compound right now.
J-Man? Yeah, that's me. Hey, how you doing?
Very beautiful woman just walked by and said, J-Man.
Yeah, she wasn't talking to me.
She was passing Joe. She was talking to someone else.
Bumbags.
But yes, we're stood right next to where they do the TV coverage, and they're just setting up right now. We've just finished our programme. It's about 10:15 in the evening.
Joe Wiley's just drifted past, hasn't she? Looking very beautiful.
She's dressed up like a kind of Björk.
She seems to have murdered some raccoons and made them into a shawl.
She's murdered like a whole big gang of raccoons.
We saw her earlier with a big cage of raccoons and a hammer.
She's just looking adorable as usual. It's all very exciting. The lights are being tested and rehearsals are underway for the BBC Two Glastonbury programme, presented as usual by Hufty and Sir David Frost.
Hufty.
Who knows what kind of crazy hijinks they'll be up to tonight and what sort of middle
it's
of the road
It's amazing that they went for Frost, isn't it? Still can't get my head around that.
Well, Frost was the obvious choice for the satire.
It was down to Frost and Alistair Stewart, wasn't it? And Stewart nearly got it, but Frost pipped him with a jowl swipe.
Alistair Stewart's doing it for the Living Channel.
Is he?
I think so, yeah. He's doing his own Glastonbury coverage.
So listen, listeners, enjoy these highlights. We'll be back with you at the end of the highlights for more waffles.
Take care. I love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the voice of the big British castle, coming live from the Glastonbury Heston Hill. Your host tonight, a doctor about Julies and corny corns. But for paperwork, they're known as Adam and Joe, just so you know.
Hey, man. Good
hey.
To see you.
Good to see you.
Haven't been on the air with Joe for 6 months, more, 7 months maybe?
I know.
Since before Christmas 2010, I haven't seen you. You've been working on your film.
Yeah.
And you're in the edit right now, is that right?
Yeah. And we're cutting at the moment.
Yeah. Cutting, scratching. And it's weird because you finished principal photography.
When I said yeah, like that, that was like a...
That was like a joke.
Like a joke. I just want to make that clear.
That's not
I haven't started
actually...
talking like that
yes,
now.
Yes, it is. You hang out with Prince William.
I might do soon.
You love Prince William. So what I'm a little bit confused about, right, with this whole film that you've done and everything, is when do we shoot my stuff?
Later.
With Jules Holland?
A lot later.
Because, like, I understood that principal photography had finished.
No, it's part of a new process.
Oh.
It's like 3D. It's like a step forward from 3D. But it means there's certain elements you don't actually film.
Because I've got a...
Like, for years.
Sure.
For years later.
Oh, I see. Because I assumed, like, you know, because you're making a film, I assumed I'd have quite a big part in the film. Because I'm an actor. I don't know if you know. I was in The Persuasionist. Won a couple of BAFTAs. And...
No, I saw that.
Yeah. So I was just a little confused when... But it's all happening later.
It's later,
later.
Yeah.
Good
so just hang on in there.
Thanks, man.
But it's great to be back, listeners.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to our special Sunset Show, the first of three shows coming to you live from Glastonbury, which is a big festival in Somerset.
Massive festival. Fifth time I've been here, fourth time for Cornballs.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most exciting one so far, I would say, because the atmosphere is electric out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you've been listening to coverage on Six Music this afternoon, you will have heard all the DJs commenting on the fact that it's unusually rammed out there. A lot of semi-naked, attractive young people wandering around with not enough sun protection on. Mm. It's really baking hot. It's going to get hotter and hotter throughout the weekend. How are you smelling?
I'm smelling all right, but I'm a little bit sticky from suntan lotion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the process of putting that stuff on.
Do you not?
Do you use the squirt or the spread?
I love the spread.
The spread. Are we still talking about suntan lotion?
I like to spray.
You like to spray?
Yeah. Yeah. I like a thin mist. I like to spray the mist in the air and then walk into it.
I'm
like
thinking
a lady
of
with
moistening my bed sheets tonight with suntan lotion so I don't have to apply it in the morning.
That's a good idea.
I just, every time I rolled over in bed, it would just distribute itself around my cracks and nannies.
That's how I do it with my face. I squirt a lot of it into the pillow and then rub my face in the pillow.
That's the best way to do it. It saves time.
If I don't have a pillow, I'll do it with a woman.
Forgive us for stating the obvious. You'll do what?
Have you ever, you've never done that? Like, if a woman is too busy to actually apply the suntan lotion to you, you just pour it on her and then rub yourself on her. It works either way around. It doesn't have to be a man with a woman. Hey, listeners, serious warning before we go any further. This program contains weak language from the outset, as well as lasers, strobes, and explicit full frontal nudity. Mm. So you should be warned.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
So it's very sunny here, listeners. I don't know whether anyone's made that clear. Any other DJs have made it clear that it's very, very sunny here. And every year everyone moans about the rain. Everyone's weather obsessed. Finally, after what, 10 years, 11 years?
Something like that.
It's sort of like the perfect Glastonbury. It's going to be sunny for the whole weekend. And people kind of don't know what to do. It's as if it's raining very heavily. Like when it's raining heavily, shelter is at a premium. Is that the right way to put it?
Yeah.
Now shade is the thing that everyone's desperate to get into.
Exactly. And it's unbelievably hot everywhere you go, and there's no real place to escape from it. I'm surprised that not more people have got paddling pools. I only saw one.
Are you?
Yeah.
Would you bring a paddling pool?
Sure, I was considering.
How would you fill it up?
Well, you bring the water, obviously.
You bring the gallons and gallons of water.
Yeah, you'd have to drive a truck.
Yeah, or do you just run a hose from your house?
Exactly.
A long hose.
A really long hose.
But listen, here's the point of Text the Nation. We are worried that a lot of people over the weekend are going to get horribly sunburnt.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of lobster-type people going around. And we were sort of remembering our childhood and the way attitudes to sun protection have changed. Because back when we were kiddies, people really didn't care. And I remember as a kid, after going on a holiday in France, having a competition to see who could peel off the biggest bits of skin.
I know, that's unbelievable. We used to have fun. That would be the badge of pride when you got back from a summer holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you'd get all excited because it's a bit depressing getting back. But then the fun part is getting to peel off like a foot of skin from
your
forearm.
Terrible thing, and you shouldn't do it. It's medically wrong and very dangerous, but it used to be sort of acceptable. So we want to hear your sunburn horror stories. Nothing too awful, right?
Nothing.
Or would that be all right?
What, like resulting in death?
That would be probably too awful.
That would be a bit of a downer. What's yours? I mean, have you burned yourself badly?
I got horrible sunstroke in Thailand once, and I nearly died.
Did you?
I felt like I nearly died.
Yeah,
my girlfriend saved me with a salty saline solution.
I don't want to know about that. It can be horrific. I mean, and the thing is, you've got to be so careful in the sun. One moment you're absolutely fine. The next minute you get that slightly nauseated feeling, and then it stays with you for ages when you're badly sunburned. There's no kind of comparable feeling to it, apart from being unbelievably drunk and having had a boulder drop on your head.
Yeah. It's a recipe for disaster. Drink, great bands, no shade.
No shame.
No shame.
That's the big missing component of the whole thing, you know? If you remove shame from the equation.
If you're ashamed of your body, you don't expose so much, right?
Yeah.
It's people who are prepared to get their boobs out.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women.
And there are a lot of them out there.
We're coming live from Glastonbury. We are extremely glad. The atmosphere's amazing, but the smell is very bad in the festive hall.
I've got some remarkable facts about one of the bands who have just played at this year's Glastonbury Festival.
That's just what this show needs, some hardcore facts.
Well, it's what people expect from us, isn't it?
A little bit of structure, a bit of integrity.
So here's a little band facts jingle for you.
Glastonbury Band Facts.
That sets the right tone, I
it
think.
It really does. It lifts. It really sounds authoritative.
Yeah.
And it sort of really pushes home the point that what we're about to hear is factual.
Exactly. And also, I was trying to do some kind of branding the way that they would on Six Music and other groovy stations.
Good try.
Thanks.
What? Nice try.
Here we go. Here's our first selection of band facts this evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is band facts about Vampire Weekend.
I'm scared.
They played a brilliant set today.
They did.
Did you enjoy it? He's a good-looking fellow, the lead singer there. They were on the Pyramid stage. a couple of hours ago or an hour or so ago. Band fact number one about Vampire Weekend. Did you know that each one of the four members of Vampire Weekend attended Harvard, Oxford and De Montfort University? Where
don't do that. Sorry.
Where they all graduated with first-class honours in chemistry, maths, grooving and tennis.
Did they attend all those places simultaneously?
Simultaneously.
Simultaneously.
That's where they met. They had to shuttle between
lectures.
Exactly.
Wow. They're highly educated.
They really are. I mean,
overeducated.
They're the eggheads of the indie rock
Being
world.
Overeducated can be an obstacle if you're creative.
Sometimes, especially in rock.
You know that phrase, paralysis by analysis?
No.
If you think about stuff too much, sometimes it blocks your tubes.
That happens to me all the time.
Does it? You're too clever. You want to dumb yourself down.
Which tubes are you talking about?
The brain tubes.
Oh, no.
Watch
a
little BBC
problem.
Three.
Here's another interesting fact about Vampire Weekend. Lead singer Ezra Koenig is the son of Commander Koenig. Who was the head of Moonbase Alpha? No, he was the head of Moonbase Malpha.
I was going to say Malpha. What? I wasn't going to say that.
It was Moonbase, a real Moonbase. Yes, it was
no,
the real
do you not
Moonbase.
Mean Unbase Malpha.
Yes, Unbase Malpha was the real Moonbase that the one in the TV show was based on. I'm talking about Space 1999.
Okay.
Which was based on Unbase Malpha, where Ezra Koenig's dad was like the head. Here's another interesting fact about Vampire Weekend you may not know.
I think we could talk more about the Oon.
Oonbase.
Yeah. Trip to the Oon.
Did you know that Vampire Weekend drummer Monty McGuire Mapplethorpe...
Is that his real name?
I think so. Collects women.
Really?
Yeah, so far...
That's disturbing.
He has three.
In what? Where does he keep them?
Oh, they follow him.
Are they alive? They're all right?
Yeah, they're all fine.
It's not in a sort of a Buffalo Bill kind of a way.
Listen, man, he wouldn't collect women if they were just dead. And
that's not such a startling fact. I mean, he's a rock star. Most of them are in it for women.
Yeah, that's true. But he's got three.
That's good, man.
I mean, that's more than most people.
Do they get on together?
No. They have to be kept apart. they get on very badly. They're very jealous of each other. They're not happy with the situation.
It's really changing my
attitude.
But
Monty loves to collect women, so what's he... You know, he wants to have them around. He keeps them in cabinets. Peter Gate, did you know? Final Vampire Weekend band fact.
I did know this.
Peter Gabriel attends every show that the band play, and he points to himself when they mention his name in the song Cape Cod Kwasa Kwasa. Do you know that song?
No.
It feels so unnatural. Peter Gabriel too.
Wow.
You know, they mentioned his name. He goes to every show.
Really? Just to get a little ego hit?
Right. And he pops his head above the crowd.
In the wings or in the crowd?
Right in the middle of the crowd.
Is he?
And he points at himself like, me, they're singing about me. If he can't make it to a show, the band are legally obliged to replace his name with that of Terry Alderton. It feels so unnatural. Terry Alderton too.
Is he there?
He can't make it now.
Really?
He's busy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, those were astonishing facts. Well done. Where do you get your facts?
I look them up.
On the internet?
Yeah, it's...
Do you go to the British Library?
Some of them I start off on the internet, mm-hmm. and then I go to verify them at the British Library.
At the British Library. Well done.
Thank you. And
thank goodness.
They're verified as well by independent authorities.
Yeah, thanks.
Adam and Joe are live at Glastonbury. They got music, they got talking, they got BBC, which stands for Beer, Biscuits and Crisps.
Right now we are crossing live to Rodrigo, our man on the spot, just at the park stage, where a couple of special guests have just taken the stage. There's been rumours all weekend about, well, it's not the weekend yet, is it? It's just Friday, but all week there have been rumours about who the special guests this weekend will be. A lot of people were saying Bowie at one stage.
Was. A surprise!
But I don't think it is Bowie. Rodrigo, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
How are you doing?
Hello, Rodrigo.
Hi there.
Describe to us what you can see.
I can see a man with a white T-shirt and a bandana playing on a piano. I believe his name is Tom York, and the track's called The Eraser.
Wow, when you described him there, I thought it was Axl Rose. And I was really excited. Anyway, Tom York, that's okay.
Who's up there with him, Rodrigo? Is he on his own?
He's on his own right now, but I have to say there's a couple of guitars lying about in the background that look like they're probably going to get used.
The Proclaimers.
Well, I heard a rumour that Johnny Greenwood is going to be stepping up on stage with Tom, and they're going to be rattling through a few Radiohead numbers. He just started with a track from The Eraser there, his solo album. But, yeah, there's going to be some Radiohead hits flying around the park stage.
Rodrigo, what was the response there when the Yorkie Bar came out onto the stage?
The Yorkie Bar, I haven't heard that one. Incredible, actually. I mean, the crowd was slowly building up, but now the park sort of field is completely full. I can even see Ed O'Brien and Nigel Godrich, of course, floating about. They're all watching. Everyone's kind of standing stock still, kind of in shock.
Yeah.
So
sexy shock. And did people know, was the buzz around the festival site that it was going to be Tom York, or people genuinely had no clue?
There was definitely a bit of talk around today.
York talk.
But I did see a lot of excitable people kind
Yorkie
of
talkies.
Running over here, asking who's the special guest, who's the special guest. So yeah. I think it was just rumours rather than facts.
Was it children going, who's the special guest? Who's the best? I'm the special guest. With their dad. No. What are you talking about?
I don't know
about?
What I'm talking about.
Rodrigo and I are very confused.
I got tired.
Listen, Rodrigo, this is a major event. Do you think it would be acceptable? Because I'd like to see this. Would it be all right for Six Music just to drop off air while we came and joined you and watch?
Please do, yeah.
Is that okay?
How long would it take us to run over to the park stage?
Can we just
from
do swapsies?
About 20 minutes, yeah, fine.
At the moment, we are broadcasting from an OB van just next to the Pyramid stage in the centre of Glastonbury. But yeah, it would take at least 20 minutes, I think, to run over to the
and
park
other,
stage.
And is the castle recording this performance? No, we're not sure. Negotiations, it's impromptu.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. You can't just record and broadcast whatever you want.
Do that
with
the special guests.
It's a special thing only for people who are here.
Exactly.
Maybe not.
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
So we were asking you about your terrible sunburn traumas. Here is one. Oh, no. This person hasn't put their name there.
Just make a name up.
Terry Turnips, he says, I burnt my nose once on holiday. It peeled off in one piece, and so I posted it to my mum.
Oh.
It was amazing.
The whole nose?
No, I assume just a perfect sort of sculptural form of the nose. But then he put it in the post to his mum.
What the heck is...
That's a loving thing for a son to do.
You reckon? Every mum dreams of receiving a scab. From their
it wasn't
son.
A scab, it was a nose-shaped piece of skin.
A shard of skin.
I think that's beautiful and touching.
Nose-shaped. Oh, I see. But if it had sort of hardened to the extent that he could remove the whole thing, like a moulded...
I doubt it had hardened. It was sort of like a beautiful...
I'm imagining a kind of Groucho Marx plastic right. nose being plucked off now, with a moustache beneath
it. Yeah, you could attach it to a pair of plastic sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one. When I got badly sunburned in Spain, my mum put me in a bath of natural strawberry yoghurt. I repeat, a bath of natural strawberry yoghurt. As she had, inverted commas, read somewhere that that's the best way to treat it. It took 30 plus pots.
Wow.
That's cool, don't you think?
Really cool.
Delicious. Nom, 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 nom. I mean, tasty and a lovely soothing balm.
I don't like yoghurt, though. You'd be happy with that.
You don't
you?
Have to eat it.
No, but you wouldn't want to lie in it. You don't want to lie in a substance that you don't like.
That's a whole other subject.
What do you think you might?
Why not? You're not tasting it just because you don't like
you
the taste of it.
You don't want to lie in it. Why would you want to lie in something you revolts
you? I'd be perfectly happy.
You?
I hate marzipan. I'd be perfectly happy to have a bath of marzipan.
It's not practical anyway. It's not the kind of substance that you could bathe in. I don't want to bathe in yogurt.
Okay. When I went to Greece, my mate Tammy got sunburn on her back so bad that it came up in blisters. It was like reading a novel in Braille.
What?
I got the job of rubbing in the after sun. It still gives me nightmares.
Ugh.
What if it did actually say something in Braille? Would that be spooky if there was a message?
Yeah. What would it say? Try using sun cream.
Yeah.
Adam and Joe in Glastonbury. Back together in perfect harmony with our all-weather gear and beer. We're here with the BBC.
Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and we're at Glastonbury.
Yes, Glastonbury is a major meeting of young people from around the country to discuss the topical issues of the day in song.
And to experiment with new fashions.
Yes.
New ways of thinking.
Various resolutions will be passed by the young people, resulting in new ways of dressing and new attitudes to society.
And all the stars are on site. And the star quotient has been swollen, if I can say that.
Really?
By the arrival of Gorillaz.
Yes, they've brought simply millions of people with them.
They are on the pyramid stage tonight. They're the big headliners.
It's like Stars on 45.
Who have they got with them? They've got De La Soul.
They've apparently got Marquee Smith. This is sort of rumoured. Is it definite? Yeah, De La Soul, Most Def.
They're in the house.
There apparently.
Lou Reed.
Sean Ryder.
Lou Reed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got all the most cantankerous figures in rock on one stage. At one time, and that's sure. Can you imagine what the dressing room is like at the moment?
Brian Cant is here.
Brian Cant, he's strolling around, he's punching Lou Reed.
Mr. Blobby.
Lou Reed's wandering around going, why is Brian Cant staring at me? I don't want Brian Cant staring. And then Marquee Smith sort of comes over, all right, how you doing, Brian? What's going on?
It's like some kind of... I was just going to say something so stupid.
What were you going
to say? I had to rein it in. I was going to say it's like some kind of Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Barbara, what were they called? Barbera.
Barbara.
Barbara. Hanna-Barbera. But then, of course, I realised they are a cartoon band. So it was a completely sort of self-negating comment.
They're playing down the cartoon element, though, I think.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have the
it's
thing
like the
where,
Animal
they,
Olympics.
Where they walk on Animalympics.
Animalympics.
They don't walk on...
It's not like that. It's like the
some
Animal
of the
Olympics.
Concerts they've done, they've got... The gauze thing that they stretch across the stage. Do you know? And
yeah,
then
they project. Projection.
Yeah, they project the people that come on stage.
Like Cliff Richard in Time.
Uh-huh. That's right. Is he the guy that pioneered all that?
He pioneered a lot of stuff.
They should. Why isn't Cliff Richard one of the
guests?
He's
probably here as well.
That, you see, I'd have
in
more
hologram
respect
form.
For Damon Albarn if he came. In fact, we got a message from Damon Albarn, which he left earlier on for Six Music. Here it is.
Hello, this is Damon Albarn. I seem to have lost or mislaid some of my confidence. If anyone finds it, can they please hand it in to a member of staff? I really need it for later on. Thanks.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Is that what... Yeah. So...
You know, usually when he's got his confidence, he's more perky than that.
Right.
Because you were thinking... I didn't know he spoke like that, right?
Well, it's based on some profound observation about Albarn that I don't understand. Does his confidence wax and wane?
No, it's not that specific.
I need the facts.
Why are you asking me?
So much wonderful music at Glastonbury by so many great bands. So come on, let's hear a little bit right now.
Ooh. Happy 40th birthday, Glastonbury Festival. Ah, it's nice. It's a momentous year in many ways, not least because it's the 40th birthday of Glastonbury, but obviously because of the sport ball.
Yeah, everyone out there knows that me and Adam are big football fans. We love the footy, so this is a very exciting time of year for us.
We live for the game.
We live for the game. Football, the great game, the beautiful game, the lovely ball.
The gentleman's game.
Sport of kings.
Sport of kings. Sport
King of
sports.
Kings.
Sport of kings.
Shut up.
And, you know, it's not just great that there's all the sport ball going on. Also, it's in South Africa, mate. So it's a nice opportunity to talk like that, like a real South African, out of respect to the people of South Africa.
That is very respectful.
And if you don't do the accent, well, that's not respectful. You know, you'd expect the same if they came to this country, wouldn't you? To do the accent.
I don't think I can even engage with that accent.
So have you been watching all the games and getting all excited?
I've tried to avoid it.
What?
I've tried to avoid it.
Because too excited?
Well, I've been working, but in central London, so it's hard because a huge cheers go up whenever anything happens. So, you know, you get forced to check it out
at
on the
moment,
internet.
So far it's been, oh! Those have been the main cheers I've heard. That's a little in-joke, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, because I think they've been doing badly.
Oh, they have... What, who, England?
Yeah.
No, they've been doing all right.
Have they?
Yeah, they've done one bad one, and now they've done a good one.
Sure, I thought I heard they'd done two bad ones.
No, they've done one bad one, where they done one, then they've done the other one's one in their one.
Yeah.
Right? And then they've done another one, but they've done a 1-0 one.
Ah,
that
was
the good
one. So
now they've got two.
Yay!
right, James?
The other day.
That's good, man. That's good. That's good. Come on.
That's
the first
good
game
analysis.
Was 1-0, wasn't it? No, it was 1-1. Only England scored the other one on the other's behalf, right? They put one in for them.
Yeah, he pushed it in with his, didn't he? Yeah.
With his fist.
And then the other one, everyone thought they were going to go out and it was going to be a big stinky winky. But in the end, they done all right.
They done a good one.
And they done one.
Have you watched any? So you haven't watched any of the coverage. The other day, I turned the TV on about an hour before the game on Wednesday, the good one that they done. And it was Gary Lineker was on there. He does this sport program.
That's the big chant on the terraces.
Sport? What?
They done a good one.
Yes,
good.
Yes.
You done a good one. You done it in the goal.
I turned on the telly and there was Gary Lineker, right? And Football Progs Now, it's like the news. It's like they're covering the election or something.
It's very serious.
It's dead serious. And at one point, he said, we're interrupting this program to bring you some breaking news. And then a news flash came on.
Yes.
And I was thinking, what the hell's going on? And it was all in like the BBC News graphics and stuff. And it was a lady saying, an extremely strong virus has broken out. Symptoms include quickening of the... At this point, I'm thinking, this is real.
It's outbreak.
What's happening? She says symptoms include quickening of the pulse, a rise in temperature and stress levels, and can result in outbreaks of rage. It's being called England fever. And then they had pictures of flags. And I was totally suckered into it.
No.
Yeah, and then they cut back to the studio and Gary said, I think I've got that.
Gary.
Gary. And then they had this thing, like they had a comment from an old football manager. I don't know who it was, like Ron Penalties or whatever. And they'd shot him in a... Like in the olden days, presumably they would have just cut to a studio with like a picture of a ball behind him and he would have said, yeah, the team's doing well, but they need to concentrate on the corners and polish their studs. But this time they had this guy and they'd shot him in a moodily lit locker room or something. And it was all flash camera work, like he was framed to the extreme right of frame and stuff. And there was lots of impressionistic wipes and fast cuts to like close-up shots of bags and football studs and whatever, and there was piano music playing underneath all his bon mot and words of wisdom and stuff. Here's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
I accept that so far the football has gone badly. Rooney hasn't been playing well. I don't know what his problem is, but I would say to him this: come on, Wayne. Kick the ball much better and make it go into the goals. Don't, whatever you do, and I would say this to all the men in the England football gang squad, do not let the enemy team get the ball and kick it into our goal, because then they're going to win the game. We can do it, but the football has got to go in their net, because that is netball.
That was the kind of thing they had. It was dead serious, you know. It was very
That was
stirring.
Inspirational.
It was inspirational.
Plus, it taught me some basic facts about the game that maybe have been preventing me from enjoying it in the past.
Well, man, we are going to be broadcasting on Sunday night after England play Germany.
Big game.
And it's the big game and all those
fate
years.
Of the nation is on the line.
Absolutely.
The Britain's pride.
Britain's pride.
Poor,
I'm so glad
battered,
you brought Britain's pride.
Broken Britain.
Yes.
Stumbling along like a drunk old tramp with one last chance.
Yeah. And we can turn it all around, team, is what I'm
just
saying.
Just one goal ball net score.
Exactly.
I'm pushing through the crowd. Out my way, please. Cheers. I've got to get to the front. Don't you spill my beers.
We're sat on the hill just above the park stage. And it's as if there are many cities beneath us. We're looking at them from miles above the earth. But we're not. It's just quite close. They're just tents.
It's a sea of revels. There's revelry happening.
Oh,
rebels.
I thought you said
see.
Rebels.
No. It's a sea of rebels
there's
in
a
way.
There's a lot
of rebels. Because everyone here is rebellious in a way. They hate the man. Everyone here hates the man.
And there's a lot of individuality and a lot of expression of individuality.
It's a bit much, too like, much
exactly.
expression of individuality.
In 10 years, what's it going to be like? Because you would think that the expression of individuality has got as extreme as it can possibly get down there. What more can they do to express their individuality?
Well, to illustrate Adam's point, on the way across the festival site, we saw a lady sitting on the ground. She was a more senior lady. She was nude, wasn't she?
I would say she was in her 70s. And she
was very deeply tanned, wasn't she?
Yeah, she had skin like an old school satchel.
She was very lovely, but she was naked and reading a book. We approached her from behind so we could at least see her back. She's a lovely person.
She was, I'm sure, a lovely person. She looked really...
She was lovely. There's nothing unlovely about the body of an older
person. Certainly, it just takes you by surprise. It just takes a bit of getting used to. It's like suddenly being in that room in The Shining.
Yeah. She didn't come for us like that woman does.
And then we walked past another teepee, and there was another woman inside the teepee, a similar age and in a similar state of undress.
So, hey, if you're, in your later years and you feel like hanging around in the nude, this is the place to do it.
Without getting arrested.
We approached this old woman from behind, didn't we? None of us dared look back.
Yeah, we walked past her and everyone was saying, don't look back. And we were all trying not to look back.
The pages of her book were wide open.
Yeah.
With all the words on display for all to read.
The leaves flapping.
Not sure
in the
it was
wind.
A book that was suitable for adults either. Children, what?
What do you think she was reading? Yeah.
I don't know.
Enid Blyton. Steve Mason's about to come on stage.
I was going
to
say something so obscene.
That's why I could sense it, so I stopped you.
I had quite a few ideas of what her book was called.
But going back to the whole notion of people expressing their individuality, like, what is the future other than getting naked and having tattoos and stuff?
Well, I suppose stripping away actual layers of skin so muscle is exposed. Maybe some sort of cranial removal, like to have your brain exposed, like Ray Liotta in Silence of the Lambs. That would be pretty individual. You wouldn't find anyone else with that around. That would be a statement, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh. And what about building onto yourself extra limbs?
Extra limbs, yeah, absolutely. To be like some sort of Indian god, to have extra robotic limbs. In fact, it's disappointing that nobody has. I think it's, everyone's being very conformist.
Because you could have surgical staples in your skull. You could staple all kinds of things. It's the kind of thing that you expect to see in the mutoid waste zone, Shangri-La area.
Yeah.
You know? Because down there, it's like end-of-year show at art school or something.
Mutoid Waste Company, they've been around for decades, and they're brilliant. They have dinosaur trucks.
Yeah, they do, don't they? They are pursuing the Mad Max ethic.
It's like Tank Girl, but now. So listen, there's an extraordinary view here. We can see tents as far as the eye can view. We can see all of the main stages... which are going to be the scene of many great concerts, over the next few nights, concerts.
That's what the point of this thing is, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's your favourite concert that you're looking forward to most?
The Royal Philharmonic.
Yeah.
I hope there's a bit of Sibelius.
It's hard to believe that there actually will be any concerts. The atmosphere is so chilled and relaxed and sunny that the idea of people getting together in a big mass and jumping around seems too exhausting and hot and sweaty.
Well, during the hot hours of the day, everyone's just getting ready to let go tonight. Yeah. And I think when the sun goes down and we come on air, the place is going to be bedlam. There's going to be so much pent-up energy. It's going to explode. It's going to be the most incredible Glastonbury ever, I predict.
What's the old lady, the nude lady, going to start doing at that point?
Well, she'll go out into the throng.
And start rubbing...
Yeah, she'll go into the crowd, the most crowded mosh pit available.
Yeah.
Put her arms above her head, waggle her wizened wares around the place. And before you know it, because let's face it, in a mosh pit situation, you can press yourself up against whoever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very conservative world at the moment, but this is a chance to really...
It's not the kind of place that people are expecting to be...
Have their personal
treated
space
with
respected.
Decorum, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you couldn't reasonably sue someone for harassment afterwards, could you?
So that lady, she can go and really let it all hang out. And she can get intimate with people
That's
of all ages.
It's a good idea for perverts, though, isn't it? To go to a thing like this and just get absolutely... Because people can't really
We are
object.
At a thing like this. We're here.
I know, but this is what I'm saying. This could be a plan. Get nude, go right into the middle of the crowd...
No one would know you were nude because you can't see anybody from below the head and shoulders, can you?
Exactly.
I mean, no one would know what was going on down there.
Yo, what's going on? What's the scene? Who the heck are these crazy guys?
Well, one's called Adam and the other's called Joe, and you're listening to their podcast.
Oh.
So how did you get to the Glastonbury Festival? Because you arrived today, Joe.
I did. Yes. I was interested in an email I was CC'd on when we were talking about doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
You had, Adam, you were, and it was like talking about the arrangements to get down here, and you were very insistent that you were going to bring your bike.
Yeah.
It was part of your conditions, must bring bike, must be allowed to cycle on and off the site.
Yes.
And that's true, isn't it? You really wanted to do that this year. Have you done that?
I have done it. I just noticed last year that actually the distance between where we're staying, because we're not staying on site, we're staying nearby in beautiful Wells, of course, Hot Fuzz City. And it's really not very far away. It's only about 6 miles or something. And yet, at the end of the evening, when you wait for the curfew to be lifted, first of all, for the vehicles, because you can't leave immediately after the show is finished, even if you wanted to, which we don't, we want to hang around and have fun. But there's a curfew, and after that's been lifted, then you get on the BBC bus, then it takes about an hour to actually get off the site, then it takes another hour to actually get into Wales, even though it's like 5 miles away or something. So I thought, stuff that. I'm going to get my bike, and I'll be able just to get there in half an hour.
It's not a very... you don't see a lot of bicycles around.
No. I wonder why.
It's quite a rugged terrain.
It's unspeakably hilly. I forgot that about Somerset.
Between Wells and the site.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy sort of up and down hills. At one point, I just had to get off my bike and push it up an incredibly steep hill for 15 minutes today. I thought I was going to have a massive coronary. But it was a beautiful day, and I was really glad that I did it because I was cycling through some wonderful countryside. Unfortunately, when I got to the actual site, that took me another 45 minutes to... Because they wouldn't let me through the vehicle gate. I had to go through the pedestrian gate with my bike.
Wheeling your bike.
Wheeling the bike.
They wouldn't let you ride it.
No.
I had these images of you eccentrically dressed, maybe in a top hat, cycling through all the crowds, people shouting Count Buckley's name.
Well, last year we saw Grimmy Grimshaw, didn't we?
Grimmy Grimshaw.
On his little bike.
And Grimble and Grimble at Christmas.
He was cycling through the VIP area on a fancy little bike, wasn't he, Nick Grimshaw?
He certainly was.
And so I was hoping to get a bit of that action, I must say, but it didn't really materialise. I just got incredibly sweaty. But I was glad I did it. I'm not sure I'm going to cycle back tonight, though, because I think I might have
might have an accident.
Might have a little drinky afterwards, and I wouldn't want to take any chances.
No. It'd be fun going back, though.
I like it going back because I might chuck my bike in the bus, and then there's all the bonhomie and the camaraderie, and there's Steve Lamacq. He hangs from the top of the bus.
Band facts.
Now, Snoop Dogg, he played earlier on today, around about 5 o'clock, the naughty hip-hop sensation. There's a rumour going round.
Oh, can I say that I saw... Yep. I mean, everyone else has probably said this, but I was in the press area and he came through it.
Ah.
I thought at first he was jogging because he was sort of moving along at a semi-sprint,
Snoop
flanked by four huge bodyguards in sort of beautifully dressed in black suits and white shirts and black ties, jogging along beside him.
Like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. It was amazing. He's very tall and very, very lean.
Mm.
He still looks about 19.
He's like a whippet.
Yeah. And there was a genuine frisson went through
the
crowd.
Well, he's probably famous, isn't he?
He really is.
So, here's some interesting facts about Snoop Dogg. Did you know that Snoop's controversial album, Doggy Style, is not just about dogs? It's also about style. Snoop, did you know, was once known as Snoop Doggy Dog, but he dropped his middle name because he thought it was just too silly.
Really?
So he's gone with Snoop Dogg instead. It's a bit like Larry Fishburne calling himself Lawrence Fishburne,
right.
People would take him more seriously.
Makes sense. Sounds true.
You know, I mean, he sort of woke up one morning, Snoop Doggy Dog? What kind of a crazy name is that? No one's going to take me seriously. I got to drop the doggy.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Did you know that Snoop's father, Michael Dogg, wanted his son to work in his winemaking business. And he is very bitterly disappointed when Snoop chose to be a singer instead.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that he's from a very aristocratic family.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Absolutely. Michael Dogg is one of the premier winemakers in that part of Los Angeles.
Vintners.
Vintners is exactly what he is. And yeah, it's very humiliating when your son, who supposedly is going to take over the winemaking empire, turns his hand
Dynasty.
To being a singer instead.
Yeah.
Final Snoop fact. Snoop disapproved strongly of the macho posturing associated with hip-hop, and he decided to braid his hair like a girl in protest. That's why he does it.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was because he was a big Pippi Longstocking fan.
That might be partly to do with it, but no, it's like an in-your-face. It's like, I'm going to look as much like a little girl.
Pippi Longstrumpf.
What is Pippi Longstrumpf?
I think that's how you say it in the country where it's from, which is somewhere in Europe like Dutchland.
Ah, yes.
Pippi Longstrumpf.
Longstrumpf.
What are the Smurfs called in their original language? The Strumpfs. Or something like that. It is, I promise you.
They're called the Smurfs.
They're not, they're called the Strumpfs.
The Strumpfs.
The Strumpfs. Someone will text us in and tell us what the Smurfs are actually called in their country of origin.
What was those?
Which is Smurfland.
Yeah. Ruled by General Abrahams.
Yeah.
F. Murray Abrahams.
Yeah.
No, J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrahams.
Father J.J. He runs it.
This is the Big British Castle, broadcasting on the emergency Glastonbury frequency.
We are being held hostage in a field by some cartoon ponces and a man pretending to be a cockney. Please send help immediately. Over.
We were talking earlier about our respective trips here, and yesterday I took the train from Norwich to get to Glastonbury. It was a little two-leg journey there. Unfortunately, my train to London from Norwich was cancelled when I turned up, Joe.
Lord's a lordy.
I had to make alternative arrangements, as did the rest of the travellers on that trip, and it was very busy. And because it was a lovely sunny day, more people than just myself had brought their bicycles, which they hoped to put on the train. It wouldn't have been a problem if the train was running normally to London. We would have put it in the guard's van. No problem. But because the train was cancelled, it was the alternative was one of those three coach jobbies, like little hoppers, basically.
Hate them.
You know? But still, there's bike storage on those. So all of us, there was four of us with bikes, we all crowded round the doors for the bike storage carriage. And the first chap, when the doors finally opened, put his bike on the bike storage bit. And I was waiting patiently for him to move so I could put mine in there. There was a couple of girls with bikes behind me. And then this sort of posh bloke who looked a little bit like Tim Nice But Dim, you know, got up.
Was it Christopher Nolan?
Could well have been. Yeah, could well have been. And he got that up there and he had quite a big black suitcase. And he popped the suitcase next to the bike in the bike storage area. Mm. So the fellow before me with the bike said, could you move your bag? There's other people who are going to be putting their bikes in. And he said, no. And so he said,
what?
He just said, no, I'm not going to move it. And so the guy was like, oh, it's a bike storage area though. No, it's not. And so we had the satisfaction of pointing to the large sticker that said bike storage.
Nice.
He said, well, there's seats there. There's three seats there, fold-up seats. What if I want to sit in those seats? We're like, okay. Those other seats you could sit? Well, where am I going to put my bag? Well, you could put it in a luggage rack. No, there's no room. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to sit on my bag right here. What do you think about that?
Was he mad?
Well, this was the thing. I looked into his eyes and he was all a quiver a little bit.
He was
like
shaking.
He really was. Maybe he'd had a bad day, I don't know what, but he was thinking, I am going to jolly well have a confrontation about this. I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm sick of people with bikes telling me where I can go and where I can't go. No, I'm going to sit here in a bike storage area on my belly bag. If you want to do something about it, you can. Laura Blind and Data.
Wow.
He turned into Cilla Black. But so he was absolutely quivering. And I was thinking, wow, this is amazing. Usually it's me that's in these situations getting furious. And now suddenly I'm confronted by a totally unreasonable guy.
Like, you were cool as a cucumber in total control.
Cool as a cucumber.
So what an amazing opportunity to say some of the coolest things you've ever said.
Well, I didn't want to put him down.
No.
I thought this is an opportunity.
Very adult, very mature.
For me to help this nutcase. And because people were sort of standing around, the train was about to leave. He was stopping everyone from putting their bikes on and stuff. An old lady said, it sounds like you're being very unreasonable. What are you doing there? And he said, who are you? To this old woman. I was like, hey, everyone calm down. Now, listen, I'm going to help you.
You said this.
Yeah. I said, I'm going to help you put your bag.
You said, hey, everybody calm down. Did you really say that?
I may not have said, hey. But I said to him, listen, man, just calm down.
What would have been better?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Is if everyone had shouted, but then like in a movie, you shouted the loudest.
Right.
Do you know when they do that in films?
Or slapped him.
Or slapped someone. Everybody be quiet!
Yeah.
And everyone else goes, oh, he's louder than anyone else. We should listen to him.
He's like one of the army men from the army recruitment ads. So I'm completely calmed the whole situation down. And I found him a spot for his bag. I mean, I totally humiliated the guy in a way.
Treating him like a baby.
He needed to be treated like a baby. And in the end, he's sort of like having been proved completely wrong, and he was totally in the wrong, 100% in this whole situation. He sort of swished past me, and I was expecting maybe an apology or something. But no, he was too furious. There was no question of one. He just sort of said, well, I'm just going to let it lie, and swished past me like that. But then later on, I saw him like flirting with some attractive women at Ely Station, and it turned out that he was just making friends with them. And I felt like going over and saying, do you realise that man's unbalanced?
He sounds like a dude.
Mega dude.
I think he could be a mega dude.
Maybe he was.
I think you've misread the situation.
I didn't realise.
What a story. You're like a nut magnet.
Well, I was just wanting to tell the story because usually, as I say, it's the other way around. And this was one of the very rare occasions where I rose above the situation.
All right, here's another podcasting. Breaking up the chat with some music. Yeah, we got this thing off GarageBand. But it's free, you know, anyone can use it.
You pushed off fairly quickly after last night's show, if you don't mind me
saying. I did, yeah. I was a little bit overtired.
Were you?
I think I had mild sunstroke.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to sleep it off. But I was here earlier than you.
You were, that's absolutely true.
I was here by 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Before the first act was even on, checking out the scene, while you were in Sleepy Land.
I wasn't actually in Sleepy Land because it was a little bit noisy in the hotel.
Well, what were you doing, trying to cycle up the hill again?
I was preparing my band facts.
Really?
Yeah, they're coming up later in the show.
That's exciting.
You'll be reaping the rewards of my early morning work session. But speaking of sunstroke, you know, 1,000 people were treated yesterday for sunstroke.
Is that so?
Yeah. People, if you're listening, yeah, watch out for that sun, whether you're at Glastonbury or not. It's vicious, thanks to Al Gore, and you've really got to cover up, otherwise you're in troublelogs.
Yeah.
That's a serious warning there for you.
Troublelogs.
Troublelogs. That's the worst kind of trouble.
Right.
Yeah, like logs
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, logs and logs.
But then I wandered around after the show last night for a while, and me and James, the producer, went and had a little drinky and had some fun and met some folks. And then I didn't cycle back. I put my bike on the big BBC coach, right? Because I thought it would be a bit irresponsible to cycle back after Pim's. But then when I got on the bus, I started thinking, I need a little whizzle-wazzle. Oh, hang on. You know, it's only 6 miles to Wells. It's not a big problem. But then you have to wait for like half an hour for everyone to get on the bus. Is Steve Lamacq on the bus? Yes, he is. You know, is Gideon on the bus? And a half an hour later, we finally pull away. And then it takes ages to actually get off the site because you've got to wait for all the confused Biffy Clyro fans to clear the road and stuff. And so then we're going back. It's taking ages and ages. Meanwhile, I am busting by this point. And then we're about half... I'm thinking, we must be nearly there by now. We're driving down late-night roads. I'm thinking, we get to a little conurbation. I'm thinking, this is the outskirts of Wells. Surely we're nearly there, I can hang on, even though it's like a stabbing pain now in my groinal zone. And then I see a sign saying, Wells, 7 miles.
Oh, no.
I'm in total trouble. I had to stop the bus.
Or no.
James, the producer, stopped. He said, do you want me to stop the bus for you?
And did you get out and do your whizzle-wazzle in the hedge?
Yeah.
And did the whole of the BBC radio crew watch you do it?
Yeah, they did. I said like a little, sorry, guys, a bladder emergency. But it was one of the most embarrassing moments of my life.
Wow.
It was like being 16 again.
Your tiny bladder causes you so many problems.
Honestly, because I cycle everywhere, it's usually not a problem. I can just whizzle anywhere I like.
You should write a book, like David Byrne's cycling book. You could just do a book about emergency whizzles.
Oh, I've had so many. But the last one in my life I haven't had since I was about 6, and I was at Disneyland and my dad had to stop the ride where you go and through the Jungle Cruise.
No.
I needed to go for a wee in the Jungle Cruise, and so he had to turn the boat back.
You should have just done it on an animatronic gorilla.
I would have been up for it. Just whizzed on a hippo's head or something. Would have added to it.
I'm having a lovely time at the festival, though I can't remember where I put my tent. I've been walking round and round, but my tent cannot be found, and I've lost my keys and wallet and my friends. This is fun.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, coming to you live from the Glastonbury Festival in Somerset.
Somerset's beautiful.
Home of delicious apples. I have to say, the apples in the BBC catering restaurant area are really succulent and
catering
delicious.
Catering in general is tip-top.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. What's the name of the restaurant again?
Eat to the Beat.
Eat to the Beat. That's where we interviewed wild beasts. Mm. That's coming up later on in the programme, after about 9:30.
We say interviewed.
Well, we did a sort of quiz between Joe and wild beasts.
I think we sort of scared and upset them.
That's possible.
Confused them.
They're quite shy chaps. They were lovely, though. And while we were in there, we were trying to think of alternate names for restaurants in BBC compounds and festivals.
Restaurants?
I got told off the other day by someone for pronouncing the T at the end of restaurant.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
So now you've adjusted your behaviour to say restaurant.
Yeah, I like to do everything that people tell me.
Do you say Michelin or Michelin?
Michelin.
You say Michelin?
Oui.
Of course you do.
And I say pizza.
Do you? Well, then you're an idiot.
Do you say urine?
Urine.
And I say rosé instead of rosé.
Rosé?
Rosé.
Yeah.
Rosé, ouais. Hey, are you a facts fan?
They're all right. You know.
I was hoping for something more positive.
I was trying to go in a different and unexpected direction.
Well, maybe this will change your mind.
Band facts.
Now,
I like that noise.
Yeah, it's nice.
That dingly bell noise.
It's like a lady noise.
It's like woken me up. It's a lady noise.
It's like a lady noise. That's the sound that happens in ladies' minds.
Really, when they have an idea.
If you see, I think that's what happens in Sarah Jessica Parker's head a lot.
Really?
When she sees a lovely dress.
In a shop window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bling. Now, Muse are playing tonight, Joe.
Yeah.
They're your favourites.
I love Muse.
And they're on the Pyramid Stage. As soon as we stop our show tonight, we are going to take a chopper over to the Pyramid Stage, mm-hmm. even though it's only a couple of metres away. Mm. And we are going to hover above the stage as they play an incendiary set.
Oh, a chopper. I've got a bicycle. A chopper bicycle.
Oh, no, I'm going in a helicopter.
An actual chopper?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, let me give you some facts about the band that you may not be aware of. These are interesting. Lead singer Matt Bellamy owns a giant perspex and stainless steel house by Lake Como at the foot of the Alps, but he actually lives 6 miles under the ground beneath it in a fortified bunker. Don't know if you knew that. He makes the overground house appear occupied for security purposes by leaving the radio on and standing Matt Bellamy-shaped cardboard cutouts in the windows, which he animates with bits of string tied to squirrels and stuff. He got the idea from watching Home Alone. It's a security precaution. It's a very wise move.
How did you find that out?
It's on... It took a while. It was a lot of asking around. I spoke to one
Tough
of the guys that...
celebrity.
I spoke to one of the guys that put in his original security system.
Right.
And he had it torn out.
And he lives underground for privacy or security reasons?
Both. Yeah.
Really?
Did you know that Donny and Johnny, the other two members of...
I'm only just processing the first fact.
It's a big fact.
And now you're shoveling on another one.
Well, that's the way it moves. It's a fast-moving fact show. The other two members of Muse...
You're like Johnny Ball.
Exactly. Mm. I have a beautiful daughter as well.
You do.
So I'm exactly like Johnny Ball, and I'm very good at maths. Donny and Johnny, the other two members of Muse, live in perspex boxes on the moon. And they're positioned very close to one another so that they can entertain each other by pressing their bare tattooed bottoms up to the walls. Did you know that?
How long has that entertained them?
I mean,
is it
years.
Years?
Yeah. Years,
You would have thought it would have worn off.
How long have Muse been successful now?
Years.
Years?
Yeah.
10 years or something?
10 years.
They've been up there for about 10 years. They come to Earth, they do the tour, they go back up and they entertain each other, pressing their bums against the perspex boxes there. Did you know, despite his wealth, Matt Bellamy still forages for all his food in bins, using his whiskery snout to locate various morsels? His favourites are nappies and orange peel.
He eats nappies.
This is what I've been told. I don't know absolutely, 100%, but he loves them. Apparently he loves them, and orange peel, like really rank old. You know how if you put an orange in the bin and then leave it there for a few days...
It is crunchy.
That's when it's very old. It
gets
crunchy.
Well, I think, I'm thinking they could be sold as crisps.
Orange peel crisps.
In a chic boutique.
Yeah, but in between, there's a stage when it pollutes the smell of the bin very badly, orange peel. Have you found that?
No.
Final band fact about Muse. I was amazed when I found this out. 12% of all revenue from their record sales goes to support Muse's three pet charities, which are MaxiLife, which aims to help people whose lives aren't sufficiently intense.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
RIMPUM, that stands for Campaign for Research into Moving Planets Using Mind Power. There's a lot of research going on in that area, and Muse are 100% behind it. And HASPA, that's Help and Support for Peter Andre.
That's nice.
That's a good charity.
I'm
a member of HASPA as well.
Hello, this is Matt Bellamy of Muse. We're playing on the main stage tonight, so if you're coming, have fun, of course. But please be sensible, no pushing, shoving, and please pick up after yourselves. Thank you.
We set each other a challenge today, listeners, which was to go and buy each other a Glasto Prezi.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of shopping opportunities here.
I mean, there's shop opportunities everywhere
you
go.
Sort of like a hippie Blue Water.
That's right. I mean, can you imagine what the Pet Shop Boys, who are just about to play the other stage, are doing? Opportunities.
S-H-O-P-P-I-N-G.
We're shopping. And what are they going to be buying each other?
All sorts of knickknacks.
Crazy glasses.
Knickknocks.
You know, nutty hats, because that's the kind of stuff they wear anyway.
They do. They get all their costumes here every year.
Exactly.
Their pointy hats.
Pointy hats, stupid coats.
Their pointy hats.
Ludicrous boots.
And the pointy hats.
And that's how you maintain the pet shop.
So we gave each other a kind of maximum price range, didn't we? We said 20 quid.
Quite extravagant for us.
Yeah, and we're going to toss a coin now to decide who gets the gift first.
Can you just tell me if you spent your 20 quid limit?
I can't really tell you that.
Oh, all right, then. We'll just toss the coin and have a look at the gifties.
Toss the coin. What are you going to call for?
Heads, I give you a present first.
It's tails.
Ah, you give
OMG.
Me something.
Okay. So, I didn't spend any of my £20.
Did you not?
No, I didn't spend anything on your present.
What did you make it?
I went up to the green fields, right? The Avalon fields, like the old school Glastonbury.
Right.
Away from the din of contemporary rock music.
Yeah.
To the healing fields.
Oh.
Where there's tantric massage, song therapy, ironwork, workshops.
It's my favourite part of the...
You know, very earthy.
Sure.
It's the proper Glastonbury.
Absolutely.
And I went to a special place and made you a special thing.
No,
I did.
Did you?
Now, it's in a sort of... it's in a big British castle catering... what would you call this box?
Yeah, it's a...
Right?
A
if you can see there on the webcam there...
Thank you so much.
Box.
On the top, Joe has written,
do be very careful
Adam's
with it.
Glasto gift, handle with care. There's illustrations of a guitar, a microphone, some beer, sunshine, a jazz cigarette, and inside...
He's opening it now, listeners.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I'm so ashamed of my gift now.
I went to this clay therapy place where you can just make stuff out of clay. It was for children. But I went in. I was unafraid. I went in and I sat down and I made Adam a clay homunculus. It's a clay sculpture of the Buckules. You can take it out of its packaging.
It's just extraordinary.
You have to be careful. It might not be set yet.
You made
it's
this with your own hands?
With my own hands.
You've set
the bar. It's a Buxton homunculus.
Look at that.
It's got the beard. It's a good likeness, don't you think?
What
the
am
sailor's
I wearing
hat?
In
You're
this
wearing
thing?
What you always
like a bow
wear.
Tie?
No, those
are pockets.
Those are pockets with big boutons.
Thanks, man. You've made me look really good. I mean, I just don't look that handsome.
Well, luckily with you, as long as you stick a beard and a sailor's hat on it.
It's a funny sailor's hat. It's like a cross between a train driver's hat.
I was in a rush.
And a sailor's hat. But it is, I mean, I'm not criticising.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a beautiful job.
That
would
be awful
my
to criticise that.
Doesn't look like that. I would say.
Doesn't it?
No. But you've got my lips absolutely right.
Yeah, we'll hold it up to the webcam.
Yeah.
So that the listeners can see it.
It's just fantastic, man. Oh, I can't believe you did that. You went creative on my ass.
Yeah.
Damn you. My gifts are awful. And I spent 10 quid. I didn't spend the whole 12, 20. I was walking around for about 4 hours trying to think of stuff.
Really?
It didn't even cross my mind to actually
do something
creative. It was
such fun to make. The people who owned the stall actually went off to the loo and to have a shower while I was making it. And they said, do you mind looking after the stall?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was kind of running the stall for a good half hour. And a bit like Richard Dreyfuss at the end of Close Encounters, all these little kids came and started to make clay around me. I was like the king.
I thought you were going to say you started constructing a sculpture of Devil's Mountain.
I should have, shouldn't I?
Out of... wow, this is amazing.
It was very
man.
Therapeutic.
I can't thank you enough. I'm going to have it fired, and then I'm going to...
Have
it,
me fired.
And then I'm going to have you fired, then I'm going to have James fired. It's just great. I love it. I can't thank you enough. Can I have the money as well?
No.
Oh.
I'm standing in the nude in the open air. I'm really looking forward to Grizzly Bear. I've got bits of food in my hair.
We're here, obviously, at the Glastonbury Festival. We've given each other a challenge to spend 20 quid on a present for one another.
Joe spent nothing and
I
made
spent
a sculpture.
Nothing, made something out of clay. Adam's bought me a whole little nest of gifts. There's three gifts here.
Three gifts.
So I'm going to get straight down to it and open the
first
one.
Sure, rip
Shall
it
I
off.
Open this
yeah,
one first?
It's just newspaper.
Rip
you can
it
just
off.
Rip it, boy.
Wrapped in today's Guardian. Left-leaning newspaper. Not sure whether you've heard of it.
No, I don't agree with the left-leaning.
Actually, it's liberal-leaning.
I'm so right-wing that it gets me furious as soon as I see it.
Oh! That's a can of energy drink.
Can of energy drink.
That's good, because I need the energy.
Yeah?
To keep the energy up for the energy at the festival.
Have you ever had an energy drink? And don't
no,
say the
name,
because this is
On
the Big British Castle.
My little film that I made, everyone was drinking these.
Oh, were they?
I don't drink these things.
actually, which isn't a good thing to say to someone who's just bought you one as a gift.
No, but you're going to drink it
now. I am going to drink it now.
We'll share it,
I mean,
boy.
They're full of good things that are good for you, aren't they?
They're look full at of that dangerous list. Chemicals. And, can you imagine? You've got to crack it open on
Do there. I have to crack
yeah.
it open? Okay.
We're going to share this, mate.
Energy drink. All right.
Imagine things what the
change.
Show's going
to
be like.
Yeah, it's going to give a real boost
In
to the
15
show.
Minutes, we're going to be going nuts.
Oh, what is that flavour supposed to be?
I hate energy drinks.
Ooh,
my worst... Oh, I can already smell it. It has the medicinal funk
horrible.
Of the famous ball-based drink.
I'm going to open the second present while I'm having a little bit of the energy drink.
Disgusting.
Why did you buy that? What was the thinking behind it? Just something that's useful at a festival.
I thought it would be funny if we both had it and suddenly we got all jittery.
This is very good. This is great. Look at this. Present number two is a kind of wooden board with cats painted on it.
It's a nice instrument machine. I liked the sound of it. I played with it for a while and I thought we could make some music together.
Thank you for... The same note.
We could go up to the healing fields later and jam.
Present. It's quite atonal.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful gift. Thank you very much.
And
finally, the final gift here is the biggest gift of all. It's a sort of...
It doubles. It's got, I would say, three uses. At least three uses.
Look at that. It's a bongo, a kind of a bongo basin. It's a bongo basin basket.
A bongo basket.
A BBB, a bongo basin basket.
You can wear it on your head.
As a hat.
Pop it on
as
your head. It's like
hattie.
A crown.
There it is.
Look at that, mate.
And it's beautifully embroidered. It's lovely. There's so much lovely handmade tit-tat here at Glastonbury. And that's a really touching, beautiful set of gifts, Adam. Thank
we
you
can
so
do a
much.
A concert.
We do a little concert.
Start rapping.
I will in a second. Adam and Joe, with the radio. That's all I've got.
Wow.
We need some more of that energy drink, man.
Yeah, we
That's
do.
A very lovely gift.
Well, I mean, I'm embarrassed. I'm dead embarrassed after you made me that sculpture, but still. That's
it's beautiful.
It's there for what it's worth.
How much?
Did you spend? It was. Do you want to know exact prices?
Yeah.
That drum was £5. This thing was £2.50.
That's not bad. The basic unit cost here at Glastonbury is £2.
Energy
like
drink.
£2 for a,
£1.50.
A bottle of soda.
Right.
Yeah. You can't get nothing for less than £2 here.
I had a large G&T last night after the show. Guess how much that sent me back?
Fiver?
£7.
No.
£7, sweet baby Christmas. And the cup started to disintegrate before I even finished the flipping thing.
Adam's really great and he's wonderful. Joe is really, really, really brilliant.
They're fantastic.
But which one is the best?
It's Adam.
It's Joe.
Joe. Yes, in your face.
No.
Adam. Yes.
Thank you.
Right, let me set the scene for you, listeners. We're sat in the BBC canteen. It's a hot tent. What's the name of this restaurant, Joe?
It's called... Le Poupou.
It's not called
No,
Le
it's called...
Eat
Le
to the
restaurant.
Beat.
It's called Eat to the Beat. Is it really?
Yeah.
Really?
We established that.
Wow.
They've named the restaurant
you
Eat
wouldn't
to
have
the
thought
Beat.
They would have bothered.
What other restaurant names could you have for a catering tent in a pop festival?
I'm sure whatever names there are, they're out there already.
If there's anyone listening who would like to text us some suggestions for restaurant names at a pop festival, please do so. 64046 is the text number. We're here with Wild Beasts, I'm excited to say. How are you doing, chaps?
Great, yeah, we just got off stage. It was awesome.
That's Ben talking. He's guitar and keyboards. Handsome young man. Looks a little bit like Morrissey. No, not really like Morrissey. How would you describe him, Joe?
Just very handsome, like he's just escaped from some sort of a very stylish wind tunnel.
I think you're very handsome also.
Thank you very much. We'll be making love in a matter of seconds.
Now listen, chaps. Let's get to the quiz, because we're going to have an exciting quiz now between you chaps, Wild Beasts, and Jay Korn, Joe Cornish.
Yeah, hi, Jay Korn.
Jay Korn is headlining the awkward stage in the Killing Fields tonight. Okay, let's get into the quiz. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you questions and sometimes set you tasks. Lucy, our broadcast assistant, is here, and she's scoring the whole thing. She'll use her discretion for some of the rounds. And I will ask you both to answer the questions one at a time and then tell you who's got the right answer. Question one. a group of artists known as the Wild Beasts, or Les Fauves in French, took the art world by storm at the beginning of the 20th century with paintings that often featured bright, unrealistic colours. Jay Korn, name a famous fauvist.
I thought you were just going to ask me what they were called, and I would have said the fauvists. A famous fauvist is... Oh, God, I don't know any fauvists. Rolf Harris? Is he a fauvist?
I'll tell you in a second. Let's see, Wild Beasts. Name a famous fauvist.
I would maybe suggest Henri Matisse, who is the forefather of fauvism.
Henri Matisse is the correct answer, although I did have Rolf Harris as well. And I also had Ron Wood. Bonus question for you, Jay Korn. What kind of bread did the fauvists eat?
Have you already got the answer to this?
Yes.
Tell me. You better tell me.
Hovist. Okay. Here's a tough question that everybody is answering at the moment. And I'll ask this to Tom from Wild Beasts first. Who came off worst in the embarrassing set-to between James Corden and Patrick Stewart at the Glamour Awards recently? Were you aware of this set-to?
I am aware of this, yeah. I haven't actually seen the footage, but I imagine as James Corden's, whether you find it funny or not, he's a professional comedian and Patrick Stewart is a professional actor. I suggest that James Corden made Sir Patrick look rather foolish.
Okay, that's Wild Beast's answer. Jay Korn?
I disagree because, of course, Patrick Stewart is Picard and he owns a spaceship. So anything he says goes.
The correct answer is it was a tie. They came off equally badly. Okay, next question. Supply the rest of this well-known verse. I'll ask you first, Jay Korn. Darling, the spirit is kicking. Don't be fooled by the moonshine. It's tricking.
My pants are sweaty. They are sticking to my undercarriage. It feels... quite wicked.
And Wild Beasts, could you supply the rest of that line?
Frocks spill like alcopop around girls' knees. Trousers and blouses make excellent sheets down dimly lit streets.
Is the correct answer. That's a line from We Still Got the Taste Dancing on Our Tongues. You must know that one, Joe.
I do, I just didn't want to embarrass the band.
Okay, here's another question for you chaps. What are the names of the Olympic mascots? And are they embarrassing and patronising, or wicked and fun? That's one for Wild Beasts first. Who wants to take that one?
Is there a lion? No.
Not giving you any help. Jay Korn, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, they're called Bromley and Snot. And they're like blue, aren't they? They're like blue and they've got round faces. They're sort of like mutated Teletubbies. They're called very weird things, aren't they? Like Whittle Cox and Flump or something. What are they called?
Funnily enough, I'm going to give you some points there because Bromley and Snot was one of the names they were considering. Whittle Cox and Flump was one that got vetoed. Whoa. Other names that they considered were Win Guy and Runny, Go Brit and Can Do, Coolies and Smart Fart, but they settled on Wenlock and Mandeville, named after the places where the steel was poured and Mandeville where research into disablement was undertaken. Fun fact. Okay, finally, at the end of our quiz, I want you to perform a bit of rapping from your favourite rap song.
Oh, wow.
Who's going to take that one, Wild Beasts?
You got this one.
Rap on live radio.
I'm a millionaire, I'm a young money millionaire. Tougher than Nigerian hair. My criteria compared to your career, this isn't fair. I'm a venereal disease, I commence to bleed. I can't swear on BBC.
That was good. Hey, very good. All right, Jay Korn, what are you going to go with?
I can do some rapping. Sure, I can do some rapping. You've got to give me a beat, though, Wild Beasts. Stupid. I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid, so I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up. This is a hold-up. And nothing funny. Stop smiling. Still ain't nothing move but the money. But now I burnt it on because I'm righteous. Feel great. Maybe I might just search for 9 to 5. Because if I thrive, maybe I'll stay alive. Or walk down the street whistling this. Feeling out of place. Because man, do I miss the pen and the paper. Stereotype. Don't mean Eric being a nice big plate of fish. Which is my favourite dish. But without the money, it's still a wish. Speed rapping. That's the only way to do it.
Are you white by any chance, Jay Korn?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Actually.
I didn't realise.
What's the score?
We're going to find out what the score is now from Lucy. How did they do?
Wild Beasts got 2.5.
Two and a half?
The half was for the tie question. I honoured both teams a half.
They both got a point for the tie, okay.
I gave the Wild Beast 8 out of 10 for the rap. I gave Joe 10.
Did you?
Wow.
That's a bit partisan, isn't it?
But he only got 1.5 in the quiz.
And the final scores
so
then?
The winners are the Wild Beasts.
Hey, congratulations, chaps. Thank you so much for coming in and joining in our kind of kids program.
Thank you.
BBC, 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 BBC.
Adam and Joe and Six Music. Jam and play a new music.
Glastonbury, 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 Glastonbury.
Jam and play a new music. Adam and Joe and Six Music.
BBC, Glastonbury, Glastonbury, BBC.
Hey, man, this is an unrelated question, but it's been bugging me, and I would really like to ask you
okay,
this.
Okay, I'll answer it.
Okay, I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks recently.
Right.
Right, when I'm travelling around on the train and that kind of thing, and it's not practical to read an actual book or I'm too lazy. What I want to know is this. If you've listened to an audiobook, is it acceptable thereafter for you to refer to having read that book?
No.
Absolutely not?
I don't think so, no.
Really?
No, it would be an abuse of the word read.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you use read to...
You say, I've had it read to me. And then you sound like the baby that you are.
But listen, what if I've absorbed, as I have, all the information actually more efficiently than I would have done if I'd actually read the thing?
It's because... not the same.
Why?
Because the intonation of the reader puts a particular spin on the information that you would be putting on yourself.
Oh.
If you read it in your own head.
That's something I hadn't thought of.
I'm just splitting hairs. I mean, the answer is yeah, you probably can.
I mean, you've absorbed the information, but you think there's a
they're
value...
They're often abridged as well. They're very often abridged.
I go for the unabridged.
Do you?
Sure, I do.
Really?
Because I like things unabridged.
Quite right,
I hate
too.
Bridges. Bridges in Madison County, hated it. Yeah. Jeff Bridges, don't rate him. I hate any kind of bridge. Dental bridges, worst. But if you're absorbing the information, that's one thing. But you put a premium on the actual act of reading words with your mind.
I think so.
Sure.
I think so.
Well, do you find yourself... It's very retrograde.
Do you know when you read a book and you sometimes drift off and find yourself having to reread the page?
Absolutely.
Does that happen when you're listening to an audio book?
No.
Do you drift off?
No, total focus.
Total focus.
Total focus.
Really?
Absolutely. And my recall for the events and the phrases and everything is much better than
really?
It would be.
Do you like the book to be read by the author, or do you like
I prefer
them to
it.
Be read by Patrick Stewart?
Well, it
or
depends.
James Corden.
It depends. We were talking about Ian McEwan the other day on the podcast yesterday. In fact, got the audio book for that one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was read by an actor, and he did a pretty good job of inhabiting the persona of the protagonist.
That's interesting. You prefer the audio books to the written books.
Sure.
I wonder what that said. What does it say about Adam, listeners? What do you think? Send us in some analysis.
I'm not saying that I no longer read books. It's
no,
just
but I think a therapist would have a field day
with
that.
It's an added dimension to my book. You know, I get more books in. This is what I'm saying.
Do you? Do you? You listen to them in fast forward?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
But you could cram even more in if you just speeded them up a little
bit. This is time where I otherwise would not be able to read because of certain
physical... It would be like they're all being read by the Stromps.
You were right about the Stromps. They are called the Stromps.
Sure I was.
Good fact knowledge.
Outside my tiny little cafe in Paris, you'll find two men called Adam and Joe. All day they sit just talking away. Sometimes I listen and hear what they say. Blah 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 waffles. Blah 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 pancakes. They're making a podcast apparently. It sounds like a load of old crap to me. Oh, I am making the joke.
Now I'm going to talk like this for a little bit now, mate. I hope you don't mind.
I'm struggling to identify that accent.
Are
it's
you?
The South African one,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is South African. I'm surprised you didn't realise there's a very important game going on tomorrow, mate.
There is an important football match. I don't know whether anybody's heard. Adam and I are full of information about football. We're big, 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 big fans of football.
Love football.
We love football. And it's interesting that various bands' sets are going to be kind of torpedoed, aren't they, by the footy tomorrow. For instance, Ray Davies at 4:15 on the Pyramid Stage. You know, what's going to go on there? It's the middle of the match, the big match, the big boot.
I don't know if he's a football fan or not, Ray Davies.
Well, I would have thought people who are into football would be into Ray.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen there? What's going to happen to Grizzly Bear at 4 o'clock?
No Clash.
It's going to be an audience Dupont.
That's the standard
Very
Grizzly
refined.
Bear.
Very refined. Yeah. You and me, we should go see Grizzly Bear.
Definitely. We'll all hold hands.
We don't really care about the football.
No, it's going to be a lovely meeting of people who don't necessarily care about football.
But won't the whooping and the cheering interrupt the Grizzles?
No, it's going to be far away. Surely.
Keen are playing on the Avalon stage.
What are they doing on the Avalon stage?
Maybe some experimental material.
Right.
So anyway,
do you think, though, that during the... Do you think that people have brought with them vuvuzelas?
I sincerely hope so.
You sincerely hope so?
Well, they're on sale out there. I've seen
are
vuvuzelas
they?
On sale,
Why
yeah.
Why didn't you get me one of them?
Why didn't you get me one of them?
Well, if I'd found one, I would have got you one of them.
Very aggressive, very fast.
Sorry.
God.
What do you think about the vuvuzela, mate? Do you love it?
I don't mind it. I think it's quite exotic.
The lepetata. That's the Tswana name.
My friend said it sounds like a bee has got stuck in the commentary booth.
Funny you should say that. It's like a swarm of bees, isn't it? Here's a clip of an actual swarm of bees. When you get closer to the vuvuzela, it's a far more aggressive sound.
Yeah.
But do you find it unpleasant? I mean, it's nice when it's just in the background,
you
like
know,
the bees.
I find the whole shebang quite boring.
Oh, do
so
you?
The sound of bees...
Is the least of it.
It doesn't really change things. That's what I usually... Not only do I get a sound, like a monotonous buzzing in my ear when I look at football,
yeah.
but I just get sort of a green wash.
Right.
With dotty men moving around.
It's kind of football...
No change.
Football tinnitus. Do you think that people in South Africa are going to be left with that sound for years to come now, just the sound of bees in their mind?
Well, that's their national noise, isn't it?
Yes.
They do it at all events,
that's
right?
That's right. They do it at weddings, mate.
Yeah. Do they do it at
yes.
weddings? Do they do it at concerts as well?
Concerts, vuvuzela concerts.
Oh, wouldn't be very good, would it?
Lepetata concert, lepetatas. That's what they're called.
What are they?
Oh, that's the Tswana name.
Is it?
Yes, for the vuvuzela.
I think this accent's questionable.
Is it? Do you reckon?
I don't know, but I get that.
It's authentic!
My spidey sense is saying that it's maybe it's maybe tiptoeing on some sort of big British castle line.
Do you think it's on PC?
I don't know.
Anyway, listen, I thought you might be interested to hear some of the national horn noises
yes,
from other countries.
I would be.
That's good. here's one from Denmark, where they use something called the Baba Fubaba.
Yes, I've heard about that.
Yeah, this is what it sounds like just on it. This is a small group of people playing it.
Is that an instrument that sounds like vocalised?
It does, doesn't it?
Doesn't
sounds
it?
Like people just make
it
saying
look like?
It.
What's it called again?
A Baba Fubaba.
A Baba Fubaba. What does it look like?
It's like a big leather globe.
Big leather globe.
Yeah.
I thought it looked a bit like a hookah.
No, there's an attachment.
Is there?
That looks like that.
Wow, that must get annoying.
Well, you know, they love it, though. It's very traditional in Denmark. Mm. In Australia, they have something called a mehe.
No, I've heard about that one as well.
And that's an ancient one. The Aborigines
really? Yeah.
used to use it, and then it died out, and then it's come back for yeah. sporting events. Here's what it says. So rubbish, isn't it?
It's the best thing I've ever heard. What are you talking about?
That would be good at a sports match, though, wouldn't it?
What do you mean, would be?
I mean, it is good in Australia. Is it Australia? Yeah. I'm forgetting my own rubbish. Okay, here's
another one.
Yeah.
What country is this from?
Italy.
Italy.
Yes.
Ah. Why do I get the feeling this is going to conform to some sort of national stereotype?
Well, it's... Why? What kind of thing are you imagining?
I don't know. Something like the...
something like the Mario.
The Dolmio family.
Oh, kind of like that.
Yeah.
Just the noise of this, a kind of noise of this, a kind of...
No.
No.
Nothing like that. This is the Oahoho.
What does that look like?
I tell you exactly what this looks
tell
like.
Tell me exactly what this looks like.
A beautiful woman.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird.
What, the size of a beautiful woman? What's it made from, if not flesh and blood?
Clay.
Clay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want to hear what it sounds like?
Yes. How do you... what, are they blowing into it?
Yes, exactly. It's the breath. It takes a lot of breath. You have to puff up your
Does
cheeks.
It?
And you blow. I'm not going to tell you whereabouts you blow, but...
It's making different noises. Are there different orifices from orify from which the noises emerge?
Yeah, exactly.
Really? Why don't you hear these instruments when there are football games?
Funny you should say that.
Have they been banned?
No, they haven't been banned. Here's what that particular instrument sounds like when there's a real football match going on.
The run of Gareth Barry. His right foot just gets into the day. There's still a lot to do there. Peter Crouch.
Barry. I mean...
Hang on, I know this is a good game. Keep playing it. Barry.
I mean, obviously that's not in Italy.
It's a bit distracting.
Sometimes I...
Wow.
Sometimes I should try less hard.
And that's the end of the podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
That's it from us. I just heard the little boy that I punched in the face earlier on is more or less fine, so don't worry about that. Thank you, good night.
There you go, listeners. Hope you enjoyed our show. And I'm crashing now after the energy drink.
Yeah, it was an intense rush.
I mean, it was a real rush. I was flying for the last half hour of
amazing.
The show.
It transformed the program, don't you think?
I was hopping around.
What a boost, what a rush.
Yeah, it was amazing. But now I'm feeling a little bit low, a little bit depressed. Also, in all the excitement, we forgot to think about some of the alternate restaurant names.
You really put me on the spot there with the wild beasts to try and name the BBC catering area.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think I delivered, so belatedly I've thought of some restaurant names for the BBC catering service.
What have you got?
I've got BBC Bun.
BBC Bun, is it now?
Yeah, I've got BBC Chew.
Okay.
I've got BBC Peas.
Right, are you just going to...
And I've got BBC Fork.
BBC Fork?
Yeah, come on. That's a different catering area for each of the BBC's main
How
stations.
About this? This is a retro one.
Yeah.
BBC Menu Choice.
Nice. It's like that's like a riff on the old name for BBC Three.
Here's one my brother came up with, right?
Right.
My brother Dave, Uncle Dave as we call him.
You gave your brother a sort of written shout-out on the show by writing on a piece of paper and holding it in front of the webcam.
Yeah, he texted me during the show, and so I gave him a shout-out.
And he rewarded you with the following name for a BBC restaurant.
He rewarded me with the following extraordinary name for a BBC restaurant. Food for thought. Uncle Dave, what is that?
If this was a literary festival,
you
did. Then maybe that would be amusing. I wouldn't be that amusing, but at least there'd be a little tiny little speck of amusement.
I mean, that is in no way acceptable. There's no BBC joke there.
Now your brother is being publicly hauled over the coals.
It's not connected to the festival.
Do you think this will teach him?
I hope it will.
He has to learn one day.
Food for thought, Uncle Dave.
What a show, though. The Wild Beasts were wonderful, weren't they? What a lovely bunch
nice
of lads.
Chaps.
Nice yeah, chaps. Very talented.
The main guy, like the main singer guy, one of the main singer guys, is, can I use the word rocking? I mean, that's something that Dermot O'Leary would say, isn't it? He was rocking
nothing
a very 80s look. I'm not saying there is anything wrong with it. I'm just...
There's nothing wrong with it.
Putting
man.
It out there just
Stop
in case Dermot wants
wrong.
To come and get his phrase back.
Stop being rude about Dermot.
I'm not being, I love the
Why
man.
Why are you being rude
Absolutely
about Dermot?
I love that he's got superior skills. He's handsome. He hosts the X Factor, something I'd love to do.
Would you?
I'd love to.
Would you?
Oh.
So now we're going to go off and see some bands. I believe Hanson are playing on
yeah.
the main stage.
We've got a fuzz box and we're going to use it.
Daz Sampson is playing on the other stage. And, of
Jimmy
course,
the
S
Hoover.
Club Juniors headlining on the Pyramid.
Muse have pulled out. That was a big surprise
yeah,
to everyone.
S Club Juniors have reformed and stepped in, so there's yeah. real excitement here on the site. And, of course, Doctor and the Medics headlining tomorrow.
Although so they're refusing to play Spirit in the Sky.
Well, they've got new material, and everyone's excited about it.
It's a disappointment. But we'll be back with you same time tomorrow.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
I love you.
Bye bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts. If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show? Sundays from 4. Six Music. Six Music.